Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good night, whoever you are, wherever you may be. Welcome to Marvel Movie Talk. Very excited for the first time in quite some time doing a show where everyone on it is in the same room. I'm Christian Blatt. On the other side is the one, the only, Count Eric Connor.
It's so nice to be in a room where I can touch. And a cat's here, too.
And, of course, the one, the only, Katie Hampton.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And why don't you introduce your friend and our new friend, Jim.
Jim Peary. Jim Peary.
Hey, guys.
Everybody, please welcome Kraven the Hunter himself, Jim. Jim, how's it going? I know the traffic was kind of crazy.
It's going very well, yeah, but it wasn't so much traffic. It's going well, but one of the things that if you don't know about me, you will learn shortly, I have really bad ADD. So what happened as I was getting ready for this, I put my glasses down, ready. And when I went to put them back on, I could not find them. And literally, you know, you have your normal places that you go around and look and like, oh, they're not there. And it's like, you start looking around and pretty soon like, wait, it's getting kind of late. If I don't find them, I'm going to be late. And then like, you're in a panic, tearing everything apart. Finally, I found him, and anyway,
I'm glad you did.
Me too.
They're good. They're two-tone, too.
They are.
They feel like they're maybe like a Warby Parker or something.
They are.
Yes!
Actually.
I think I have Warby.
This episode brought to you by Warby Parker.
But one of the things I will say, kind of bringing it to like performance and stuff, ADD is like a really good double-edged sword where it actually benefits me. So like someone decides to take it to a new place that we've never been or go off script, I am there. I will go with you and I can be really in the moment. So it's like this thing that, you know, it's a weapon that can be used for good or bad. However, sometimes I don't have a choice.
It's a double-edged sword. So,
yeah.
So what you're telling me is basically I can invite you to an improv show and just throw you into any scene
whatsoever.
And you're totally into that.
I heard that, too.
Right?
No, that's what we should do.
One of the things I wanted to ask, what was the audition process like in going for Kraven the Hunter? Like, how long ago was that? How much did you have to do?
I can frame it exactly. My last callback was Friday the 13th, March 13th of 2020.
Shut up.
Okay.
Everything went to shit when everything shut down. So it was that long ago. I was working with Patrick from Insomniac.
Yeah.
On another project, and he was kind of the first one who had an idea. I was working with him on something totally different, and he's like, "Do you do a Russian accent?" I was like, "Yeah." And because of that, I got in and auditioned, and then we were trying to figure out like a good accent for it.
What was it that you kind of settled on?
So there's a story. There's debate as to whether I was told directly, which is what I think I was.
That's what the story we're going with today.
Whether I overheard them talking about it. Because it was at the callback and they're like, you know, I came in, you know, with a more traditional Russian accent because it said Russian.
Sure.
Bobby, one of the directors. Yeah. Not casting, but he was actually one of the main directors of the, whenever we were doing, gameplay and cinematics and stuff like that. He said that they were looking for something more like oh shoot, I forget his name, but from John Wick. Can I curse?
Oh yeah.
Yes, okay. Please do. Okay.
So, in from the very first John Wick, he's like a bit of an oligarch from Russia, but it's more cosmopolitan. It's not traditional,
right?
Like what it's we not, think of as stereotypical Russian
standard.
Exactly. And so he's the guy who says, what is it? It's not the boogeyman. It's the guy you sent to kill the fucking boogeyman. It's that guy. So
I
didn't want to do an impression of him, but he was like 80%. I wanted to make it someone who actually came from a bit more of an aristocratic background.
Yeah.
And had that kind of influence, but much more of the cosmopolitan thing than specifically Russian, but also incredibly moneyed and whatnot. So that was the accent.
So did you know the character that you were auditioning for when you did this?
Yes.
Or, okay. Because
yes,
sometimes it's like, yeah,
that's a great question. Yeah. Because sometimes you don't know the game. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you find out, it's like, wait, this is that game? Yeah. Why didn't you guys tell me?
Yeah.
And so when you found out it was Kraven the Hunter, what was your familiarity with him?
So ecstatic because I grew up reading Spider-Man. And like when I was around, like I'm seeing the stuff with the symbiote, I knew of Kraven, but also I knew of Kraven more in the old school with, you know, the leopard print leggings. Fur had to be, but I'm so glad they did not go with the leopard print leggings yeah. this time around. Like, the character design was amazing.
Yeah.
And I could not be happier. A much more
and our visual audience is getting to see, you know, just some clips of various gameplay throughout. We're seeing Kraven, and
that's not Kraven.
All right,
Kraven hunts, and I love this, especially because in the beginning I was like, okay, this guy's actually kind of small, like I don't find him all that intimidating.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll see in just like a couple seconds here, you pop out of the shadows.
Yeah.
And then basically, yep, there you are. And what I really loved about your performance, especially in this game, was how still you were. And not a huge thing. I know in mocap, like it's all body. It's all, you know, getting into the character. Uh-huh. And usually like with a Kraven, a lot of people will go for sort of like the gorilla sort of like pounding the chest.
Yeah,
thing.
Absolutely.
So
I my goal was to make it as real as possible.
Ooh, yeah, you did it.
You know, thank you. I appreciate that. And so that's just the, I love subtle work. I love, well, anything that's grounded. It can be out there, but it has to be grounded. And if it's not,
yeah, you put a rock on your skin. Bob Chapin, friends.
Hey, Bob. I know Bob very well.
Stick around the second half. He's actually wearing it under his jeans. But you got to pay extra in the super chat for that. Five gets you a lot. And also, to this point, this scene that's playing right now, that's such a great character intro.
Right?
You know, like
I couldn't have asked for better. And that's a tribute to the writers. A team headed by Lauren Mee. Shout out. She's just like an amazing talent as far as writing goes. And she had a team with her. So like all of those people just rocked it.
I mean, both the Spider-Man games on the Insomniac side have been incredible. They've all been very
good. Right.
And something that I think I said on Facebook or something, but I was like, it didn't have to go as hard as it did, but boy, this game.
And that's right. I mean, like even the stuff with when Peter is infected and how dark he gets, and it's different, but it makes sense that if, you know, he's going to be infected by the symbiote, it's going to happen. He's going to go to those places.
Yeah.
And Yuri did such a great job. I'm so like in awe of Yuri. He just did an amazing job. But
yeah, and he continues to do an incredible job. You might have actually heard his voice in the newest Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie. He was in there for a brief moment. He was the Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah,
which makes sense. incredible actor. What was it like working with Yuri?
He's the best. Super chill and you know, open to anything. Very down to earth. You know, so there were no attitudes anywhere from many cast members or directors. It was super collaborative.
Yeah.
So like if I had ideas about things, you know, Brian Intihar, who's like the creative director, was super open to even the prop department. There was a moment where I'm watching Mr. Negative and
Martin
Miles. Yeah, sorry.
No, but yes,
Miles fight in the arena, and they had me on the throne. But for the throne, they brought out something that was as high as this table, and I'm like, no. And then they brought in something about as high as the mic. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is like, there's this. You know what? I'll see if I can find. I have a picture of it. I'll post it on Insta when I get home.
Please, yeah.
And there's, I'm like, no, it needs to be higher. Don't you understand? Like,
yeah.
It's Craven. And there's like this thing on it, you know, that iconic image of him on a throne. And it's all about body work is with mocap as well as, you know, the boy. And like, I don't differentiate between the two. Like, whatever I do acting wise, whatever the medium, I do the same damn thing. I don't alter it for mocap. I don't alter it for VO. I don't alter it for a TV or film. It's like, I do the same damn thing.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things too that's really cool and kind of more of an exercise with mocap, because a lot of that stuff is just a bunch of Apple boxes stacked on top of each other or foam swords.
That's one of my favorite things about it is you're using your imagination.
Yeah.
And I love that. So you can create anything, and like it's up to you to kind of create in your head the environment, you know, whether you're in Gotham or, you know, an ice planet somewhere or anywhere that your the game or your imagination allows, and you get to do it. So it's basically what we were doing as kids.
Yeah.
And just hopefully doing it to a high level.
Well, I actually had a question for both of you on that end too. Like whenever you do work for video games, like, what elements will they show you? Like, if any, like, do they have anything done at that point, or is it just
great question.
Sketches?
Every game is different.
Yeah, and every actor is different too. So, someone of my level, they'll maybe show me like a grayscale, and that's it. And like maybe
of my level too. Like seriously, sometimes they just don't have it ready.
Right.
They're figuring it out as they go.
They have to do a lot of the animation on top of your own body work movement. Yeah. And so good portion of time, I won't see anything if at all, but like when you're more involved, I'm sure. And how long was the process of filming this?
So like I said, it was, 2020, Friday the 13th when I started, but it took those sons of bitches 6 months to tell me that I had the role.
Oh my God. So you thought you didn't have it.
I did it. I knew I kicked ass. I knew I rocked it. And I'm not always that way. Most of the time I'm not. Most of the time I'm like, I think I did well. That time I walked out, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew it. But then I didn't hear from them for 6 months. And like after a few months, I'm like, shit, maybe I didn't get it. But you know, everything was closed down then with the pandemic.
Well, yeah, that's the interesting thing of all the Friday the 13th, 2020, March 13th I remember very well. That was when, we picked, our kids up at school and they're like, so yeah, we're going to be home. We're going to be closed the next couple of weeks. We're like, wait, what? Okay.
I came home from the audition. It was the same thing. It was not a few days later. It was like everything shut down.
I legitimately had an audition for Google Stadia when that was supposed to be a bigger thing.
Right.
And I had come home from the callback and I was going to the grocery store and all the shelves, like everything had been taken off the shelves.
Right, right.
And I was orders, like,
yeah.
Oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
Actually doing this.
Yeah.
So fun times. Just a couple comments from the chat. Our buddy Craig Robinson checking in from across the pond. Hey guys, this is very cool seeing you out of your boxes. Yes, it's a little bit of a surprise. Thought it would be fun to get us all together in a room. And our friend Cammy again, I really like a lot of video games, but don't play them because I'm not that coordinated to figure out all the buttons. I get it.
I'm with you on that. I like them, but like you have to invest in the time to get better at them.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard. I'm so bad at it.
And you need Katie to teach you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, if you want, we'll get you on Fortnite tonight.
During the pandemic, we actually, I think that's how we met, was online doing an Oculus thing, right?
Yeah. No, that was so our buddy Bob Chapin, who's in the chat, threw his own virtual birthday party, and in basically a recreation of Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah, oh
God, he did amazing. For his birthday. Yeah, it was really cool. And so because I had worked in VR quite a few years ago, we had set up this sort of like whole space that we could have fun, play and whatnot. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I felt like I was finally near people again.
Right. Same. It was a moment of connection that we got. And that's one of the cool things that the video games do is they allow you a chance to connect. If you can't meet in person, you know, it's just another way to do that and have tons of fun while you're doing it. So,
oh, absolutely. Are you doing much more VR these days?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm not. One of the things, I get nauseous.
Yeah.
I have that thing where I wasn't able to make it to the other side where I got my sea legs. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, it was not good for me. So unfortunately, my body does not like VR, even though I do.
Yeah, there's a big difference. There's a thing where your brain doesn't really understand if you're moving, but the world around you, it can be very disorienting.
That dissonance.
Yeah, that dissonance is awful. Highly recommend ginger and peppermint. Just putting that out there. because there is a Spider-Man in VR. There's like an experience where you can jump off a building and flip through.
Wow. How is that?
It's awesome, but if you are not great with VR, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see the video of the fails of that.
That's what exactly. So like if you don't get the building in time, do you just
but like you're just on the ground as though you were like in the game or whatnot. It's like, oh, I'm Spider-Man, I'm super strong, I can fall 30 floors.
Okay.
I mean, you as like your consciousness might be wrecked for all time, but
right.
Our friend Kim Egan in the chat, they should have given you the Kraven vest for having to wait that long to hear if you get the part,
right?
Yeah,
I agree.
So, for those of us who don't really know, what is the process like, you know, being hired to actually be this character for a video game? And how does it differ from being hired to, say, play a character in a movie or television show? Like, what's the actual filming process like?
There's not necessarily a filming process of being hired other than they put you on camera when you're auditioning. And that's basically the same, whether it's for TV, film, or video games. Because they want to, especially where you're doing mocap or performance capture. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing PCAP, then you definitely, I mean, like I said earlier, I do the exact same thing. Yeah. And they just happen to record it. Sometimes you're reading with a reader, or sometimes you're lucky enough to read with the people who are actually going to be opposite you. Mm-hmm. But you have the scene, actually, you have the scene memorized, and yeah, bless you.
Thank you. Sorry. There's microphones everywhere. There's nowhere to go. I leaned out of the camera. Finish that.
But it's basically the same. It's exactly the same. And either you get it or you don't.
Yeah.
But, there's no difference, really.
Your pal Bob wants to hear a casting story about Sophia.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little hesitant just because I'm a very private individual.
We can tell Bob where to take that question. You don't have to answer. I just felt like he knew he was going to ask something you could share.
Yeah.
That's all right. Thanks, Bob. See if I put you up again, Bob.
No worries.
You don't have to.
I wouldn't need to make sure that she was
cool. No, that's fine. So what's the time frame like from, you know, okay, so you they make you wait the 6 months, you know you have it, and then the game came out somewhat recently. But what in between.
So then, every game is different because there's other games I've worked on for six and a half years. This one was a few years. I got the go ahead that actually I did book it, and then it was still a couple months before we started shooting. And so for a character like mine, what that means is about once a month or once every 6 weeks or 2 months, we shoot. And so we'll have like a couple days. Some games you actually have a day of rehearsal, and then the next day you shoot what you rehearsed. Other games,
there's not enough people in this room. That there's also a couple of cats.
Yeah. A couple of cats. All animals welcome.
And so,
despite Craven,
he's a very curious, sweet boy. Yeah, he'll do his thing.
And so sometimes you get a rehearse and other times you don't. And so the one thing about PCAP, though, is you have to be ready to rock and roll. You have to know those lines backwards and forwards, because one of the things I love about it is you don't have to worry about burning film. You can do like an infinite number of takes. So that's where that collaborative process of, hey, let's try it like this, let's try it like that. So you have to know it well enough where you can adapt, and you really have to, come in prepared for that. So I'd say maybe that might be a little bit different.
And that's one of the other things too, especially with that kind of style, is that you sometimes there are moments where you can improvise a different moment or something new. And so if you're not on your game, you're kind of fucked.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You have to know where it's supposed to go, and then be ready to change course in a dime if it doesn't go there.
Yeah.
And the rule that is like, whatever happens in the moment, that's what you react to. And that's where ADD, bam, comes in handy.
Well, do you guys find, because it's fascinating to hear that they're cool with like improv and allowing you to kind of be in the moment. Do you find that with your experience? There's my question right there. Yeah. Sometimes they're like, no, don't change a word.
And well, here's the, and honestly, with that script, like it was so well done that it wasn't necessarily the words we were changing, mm-hmm. but just how you were doing it. And it's like, oh, let's, what if this time I'm more focused on really trying to get him to break out of the cage? Or other times I'm just enjoying being the, center of attention or whatever, ruling over my minions.
Well, I was curious too, and sorry to sort of jump to the end of the line with the game, but then you sit down to play the game the first time for both of you, since you both have done this, what's it like then when it's something you did motion capture and voice on, and then you see this game and it's a little bit you in there or a lot of you in there?
Yeah.
What's that experience like as... It sounds like as a fan as well.
Yes. It's really interesting. I think, so if the first thing I'm watching is like, oh God, I hope I did well performance. Like I wanted, like as an actor, I start evaluating the acting. I want to make sure that hopefully I hit the beats that I wanted to hit. And with the game, I was like so happy with the takes that they took. Mm. And then sometimes, but also like they could take a different perspective. Like you had all this stuff going on and it was on you, but like if they're shooting you from the back, it might not pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I was so happy with how they did it. And then you start getting into the game. So it's this weird mix of getting into the game and then judging your performance as the more you play it, then it's like, okay, then you kind of stop judging your performance and you get into the game. Like I was, I did Days Gone back in the day. And I actually got through that game twice. I loved it so much. Cause you're riding a motorcycle and it's in the Pacific Northwest, which is one of the most beautiful places. And there's some moments where you get out there and you're riding on the open, or as they say in the game, broken road. And it's just, it was so rewarding and fun. And in addition to like killing all these zombies and, going through the hell, but then when you make it out the other side and like there's one moment in particular, we drive from kind of one portion of the map to the other. And it's this break after you've just been slogging and grinding it out. And then you get this reprieve. And it's like with the most beautiful views and music and everything, and you experience, like, it's kind of the closest to experiencing whatever you experience, like, as if you actually were on a motorcycle. And so it's just beautiful. And it's like, it gave me chills, more than chills, like almost brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah,
seriously.
This episode is sponsored by Azon.
Azon and Oliver the Cat, the most curious cat you ever did see.
Yeah, most cats not so friendly that they just jump up on people. But I ran into this yesterday. Yeah, they just come on over. No worries. So in terms of you sort of building a career of, you know, working in gaming, but also working in other medium, is there ever any concern that, oh, you know, either a casting director or a producer might feel like, oh, I can show that I'm good at one of those things, but do they feel like that could work against me for the other, you know?
Sorry, he's going.
Oh, it's all right. We don't. Yeah, and then the audio audience is like, "What are they talking about?"
Yeah,
there's a drone trying to kill us while we're talking. Audio audience,
very
very furry, cute drone. Yes.
I just want to emphasize that Christian, I was not laughing at your comment or your question. He ran on the couch,
even
and fell right off.
Even if you were, yeah, but no, just sort of the idea of showing off. You know, making sure that it's known that I'm good at both of these things and I understand the difference performance wise.
You know, that's kind of out of control. And although back in the day, for like a good 15 years, when I started out my career, I just did TV and film. And so that was, you know, video games hadn't evolved story wise or technology wise to the point that they are now. And so, but I would run into this thing where things would kind of come and go in phases, where at times I would end up doing a lot of comedies, kind of like for a couple of years. And then I would audition for a drama and they're like, wait, can you do drama? And they would literally ask my agents. And then I would, but then it'd be like a couple of years of just doing drama. And then I'd audition for comedy and like, wait, can he do comedy? And like, literally I went back and forth through that cycle. And so then you start looking at my resume and it's like, oh my God, you know,
he's very talented. It's what that should say. He's very talented.
And so it's like, I was like, just get me in the room.
Yeah.
Just get me in the room and I will show them what I can do with it. And so there is a little bit of that. I do find, honestly, that with TV and film these days, they still don't understand games. They still don't understand the quality of work, the quality of actors, of writing, of every, like, as a storytelling, it's amazing. It's honestly my favorite medium to work in now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, listening to you is the most understanding I'm ever getting for the first time about, you know, what the difference is. So I just know I wouldn't be hiring actors for video games, but a lot of times people who are, maybe are like, oh yeah, I've cast something before, sure. But I think that's really the key. It makes sense what you're saying. You need to get in the room and then you can show what it is that you can do.
Yeah.
Now, there is a somewhat mid-level of anticipation for a Kraven the Hunter film starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson that was supposed to come out in October. I believe it'll come out next October. Had it been out before you actually started this role, would you have like, okay, I want to see what somebody else did with the character?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought the answer was. Even if the movie looked amazing, we're not even talking about the quality of the movie, not in this episode.
Stay tuned.
But
to that point, so Kraven's a very iconic character, and whenever you audition for someone like that, for me it's different. But I knew enough about Kraven. But honestly, I wanted to, one, respond to the Kraven that they wrote in this, because I could tell the writing was good, and you know they gave motivations galore, and so I wanted to be respectful of that, but also I wanted to make damn sure that I did my version of Kraven. So rather, because I knew I had the option of going through and reading every thing on Kraven, every comic book that involved Kraven, and I could have gone that way and just tried to make an amalgamation, but I specifically didn't. On this one, I definitely chose, because I've done research like that on other characters, but this one I did not want to do that.
Was there any reason why you didn't want to do the deep delve of like what other people have done, as opposed to just like,
I didn't want it to be derivative.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why I wanted it to be unique. And,
That's as much a testament to your acting as it is to the writing, because the writing is the thing that gives you those sort of information things.
Right. Yeah. And thank you. Also, I think it's the trust that the team put in me, because I mean, it's a very iconic character. But as an actor, I also look at it. I've done a lot of classical theater. And so you have these iconic characters, whether it's Hamlet or Macbeth or whomever, and you want to do your version of them. And, you know, you can look at other people's, but I learned very quickly that was not the, I don't want to do an imitation of someone out there. And so I'll take things, or sometimes I'm just like, you know what, this is so loaded that I'm going to do what I think is right. And it is tricky, because you do think, like, you know, fans are so passionate and you want to be respectful to that, because I'm also a fan. And so I understand that. And you're just like hoping, it's like, I'm either going to fail big or go home, you know?
Well, on that end, I mean, we're talking about this movie that's going to come out in a little while. And, you know, as I did my homework, which is great to do homework, involving Spider-Man 2. That's always a great piece of homework to do, right? It's like, cool.
Can you really call it homework?
I'm turning 50 this year. And the fact that I can say that as a almost 50-year-old, that's, I guess I'm doing something right. And I was like thinking, I was talking to a buddy of mine recently, and we talked about like Batman's voice. And the idea that like so many of us have Kevin Conroy as a default setting. And as I'm watching so much of this footage, watching your work.
Can you guys?
Yeah.
You can talk about DC stuff.
Yeah.
Well, not usually, but we'll make an exception. And yeah. I don't know what anybody's talking about. There's only one Batman voice, and it'll always be Adam West.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no, Adam West has the Batman. Adam West has the Batman body. I would say that's in my mind. That's the default setting. A little bit of a paunch. He spoke to me. But I was thinking, as I'm, you know, in a few months we'll go see this movie.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, can he live up to you?
Yeah, can he fill your shoes?
I don't think that'd be your attitude, because you know you're an actor, you respect other actors. But I realize now the voice you did is now my default setting for Craven. I was realizing I can't think of another Craven performance that is the one I think of in terms of audio. Not so visually. We even did Craven's Last Hunt recently on this show, and that storyline is so rich that visually, that's a big chunk of what I'm thinking of with Craven. Mm. But now audio, I hate to tell you, it's your voice now. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I want to see his version of Craven.
Right. Well,
it's a phenomenal.
Right. And I mean, and Aaron Taylor Johnson is a great actor. It is established on this show. He is my least favorite Quicksilver, because Evan Peters was better. And then there's that weird Godzilla movie where he's married to Elizabeth Olsen, who plays his sister in the MCU. It's very confusing, but he's great as Kick-Ass. And then there's a movie where he plays a young John Lennon called Nowhere Boy, which is phenomenal.
Great in that.
But in the chat, our buddy Daniel Drew, even though it's not out yet, you certainly did better in the Craven role than what the movie will be. We don't know that, Daniel. You're just assuming.
Safe to say, if anybody wants to put us in a studio and run the tech themselves, we'd be happy for it.
Or, you know, hire us to run your tech, because clearly we're great at it. No. Yeah. I do forget exactly where we were.
I remember exactly where we were, and that we were talking about how great a performance Jim gave and how grounded and humble he is. And I just wanted to read a couple of quotes from just the terrible internet, you know, those people that hate everything. Here's a couple of things.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Why did you
look at Cammy Egan when you said that? Who just post Madam Web looks so bad. I wish the Sonyverse would actually try to connect their films instead of doing these one-off films.
Oh, okay. Did you not realize when we were off camera that was Madam Web? That was what that was. Here's one of them. This is a quote of one of your lines in the game. Do Do you know what it's like to have your body betray you? Weakness will not claim me. If I am to die soon, I will die roaring. This line goes so incredibly hard. The voice actor did an incredible job.
Thank you very much.
Here's another one. The game actually made Craven a real threat. That's a huge accomplishment. And I will say, you as a person are one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life. So, you know, if you were like, oh, yeah, I played Craven the Hunter, which is one of the things that we talked about the first time we actually hung out in person. Uh-huh. And I was like, nah, this guy? Like, you like definitely that. Have the build, but, like your that. Demeanor is so
good. Right, opposite. Well, there's that duality or more than just duality, multiplicity. Like, we all have these different people within us, and I like going there. I like, you know, I like having all of that, the whole spectrum of humanity within us. And so it's just accessing that and tapping into it. But thank you. I'm glad you think so. I don't know if I'm as grounded as you're putting out there. I definitely have my issues and whatnot, but it's awesome to have characters where you can really accentuate certain things and kind of go to that dark side. I love, I play a lot of bad guys.
So, you do.
I obviously love going there, but they're so much fun. And that's, you know, you grow up and it's like, oh, I want to be that guy. And so it's fun. I feel I'm.
Yeah, to see you and to get to meet you, you definitely seem like a nice guy. But at the same time, I would probably cast you to play my bad guy. Yeah, if you walked in, I was like, no, let's who's the meanest guy in the cast? Let's have him read for that.
I play bad guys and dads these days. Those are the two.
Or the combination, yeah, of bad dad. Exactly.
Bad dad, yeah. Let me just read one. There's one that I thought was so sweet, and I was like, if Jim hasn't seen this, he absolutely should. Let's see. Jim Peary definitely nailed the role as Craven the Hunter. Craven's presence is so cold and dominating! ! There, like, awesome. So many people had this reaction to you playing the character specifically. And was that anything that, like, you were looking forward to or regretting, or like?
Oh, not regretting at all. No. The character has to be.
Yeah.
You know, you. It has to, and it has to come from like a certain level of confidence when you walk in. It's like, you know, there's a skill level, there's a certain intelligence level, but also you, what was that?
Oh, that would be our local trash can. Just trying to make our recording.
Yeah, we've got some rebel spies down in the trash compactor, and they're trying to stop it from compacting. But
part of the show sponsored by Water and Power.
Yeah, that's all right. It's we like to call it ambient noise, Jim.
There you go. I love it.
Jump in. I got to go run and do an errand real quick. Be right back.
All right. But there is no shortage of fun.
Does the cat have any questions?
Let's see. There actually was a great question in the chat from our buddy, Craig Robinson. Yeah. What's your take on the recent popularity of adaptations to screen? So taking Super Mario Brothers, Last of Us, do you think Craven could translate well to the bigger small screen? I mean, I think specifically the second part of his question would be, do you think your Craven would play well on the screen? And everything I've seen would absolutely support that. But what are your thoughts sort of taking the video games and putting them on other screens?
I love it. Well, for me, I'm driven by a good narrative, by a good story. And so absolutely, and especially my favorite games are the ones that have great stories, and like the gameplay has to be there, mm-hmm. but the stories have to be good. The dialogue has to be good. And so that's what captivates me. And so if that's good, then absolutely it would translate. That's why I think, you know, the Spider-Man movies have done well as well. And, you know, just anything that if it's done well, Last of Us, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Done so well.
Yeah.
So well. And so, like, I'm real excited to see more of that. I think that it is starting. There is some recognizing that the quality of writing is good. And they're starting to bring that. And honestly, business-wise, the people know that there's a built-in audience for it. So they're going to like, oh, we can, you know, kind of leverage that and hopefully get some more people to watch it. So, I mean, that's just part of the reality of the business. So I'm sure that's kind of didn't play out.
Well, yeah. And I think it's just in recent decades, we've seen so many more instances of the fact that valuable intellectual property isn't just, oh, we're going to adapt this book or this TV series or this foreign film. It is also like, oh, you know, this comic book series that maybe people didn't know, like turning Invincible into a great animated series on Amazon. But the idea that the video games, you know, I'm still waiting. Where's The Boys is a perfect example. When are we getting Pitfall Harry? You know, some of my Atari 2600 friends. That's who I want to see.
Yes, Bomberman the movie. That's what we're going for.
Well, Dragon Slayer, apparently. I mean, right? Ryan Reynolds, I think, was there's talks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like perfect casting right there. And I think also, too, what happened was in recent times, it feels like the writers for TV and movies, it's like they really keyed in on like, what do fans love about these stories and these characters? And I think a lot of those early video game adaptations for screen, it's like they only sort of saw the surface level.
Yes, I agree. And that's when you truly understand the material and what makes it fascinating, what pulls you in, then you can bring that with you over to the new medium. But if you don't, then it's going to fall flat. And it should, because it just doesn't have that connection.
Yeah, it's not as humane as like, hey, I'm a dying man of cancer, and the entire time of my life has been hunting people and hunting.
And for them to give me that motivation just drove everything, and it drives the urgency, the intensity, and you know then how it comes out, you know, in the fight against release.
The game's been out for a while. If you haven't heard about it yet, but basically,
if not, close your ears.
Venom.
In the fight against
so good.
Venom, right? Exactly, and you know that desire to go out when you've been on top for so long, and you need, and like, I'm not going to be wasting away in a freaking hospital bed and have this thing consume me where I'm weak and when after having been. So I'm going to go out like, you know, a warrior, like a. Fighter and a champion, and to be bested by someone who's worthy, and like, you know, that's it's all in the writing, my friend. Like, that's beautiful. It's like, oh, it's so rich as an actor to delve into that, as you know.
Yeah,
you know,
so. Well, it's one of those things that like, when you have a good writer behind you,
yeah,
you feel so much more empowered to do something cool.
And it actually makes your job easier. They've done all the heavy lifting. That's why I have so much respect for people in mediums that don't get a lot of respect, like soap operas and stuff. Because like making Shakespeare good is actually easy. It's right there. Try making a soap opera good. Try working on that and making that thing real. That's
and you're churning out, like for soap operas, you're churning out like, I don't know, 320 scripts a year or something. Exactly. It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah, and it's and you have to do it every day. Yeah.
Man, damn.
Same thing goes for the actors. I mean, you got to memorize like 10 pages of dialogue a day for like stuff that changes on the regular as well.
Well, and that's with performance capture. Yep. Sometimes you'll have like 30 pages.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And you have to, like I said, you have to go in and know that shit backwards and forwards.
Yep.
So. I don't disagree with our pal Cammy Egan. Susan Lucci is not the words. It was these words. Give me a cartoon of Dig Dug. Wait, you can't do Dig Dug as live action? I want that. And your buddy Bob chiming in earlier when we're talking about adapting your Kraven. How about a Kraven episodic? Although he's a working dad in middle America, that touches on our bad dad sort of, you know. I don't know that there could be a worse dad than Kraven.
If you get into some of the history, like the behind the scenes stuff of when he's dealing with his kids, and you hear some of the dialogue
there. And I did a breakdown for these guys just about like, so like I had a tag note at the end. I was like, some of the Easter eggs include some voice messages from his family, which is pretty rough. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I know. He's a harsh dad. Definitely would be in the bad dad category.
Absolutely. But I would say maybe we could revamp Kraven to be another Daddy's Home movie. And it's Kraven Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Homo Sapien Hunter.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. Let people know, you know, depending if you want your social media out there. I know you're out there because I tagged you in it. Let people know where they can find you and keep in touch and send more praise for Craven. If you have anything not nice to say, you say it to me. You leave Jim alone, all right?
That's sweet, Christian. Thank you. Yeah, my socials, Jim_Piri, spelled P-I-R-R-I. Yeah, both on Insta and X, whatever.
Anything coming up anytime soon that we should keep an eye out for?
This is you guys are breaking this news, and I can talk about it today.
Today. Excellent.
The first day I can talk about it. There's a little game that's come out, and I have a wonderful role in it. You might have heard of Suicide Squad.
I have.
Kill the Justice League.
Yeah.
I am playing Rick Flag.
Oh.
Yeah. Little different character.
Little different.
But yeah, I've been working on that one. I was looking back since I auditioned in summer of 2017.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, I actually was cast in that a few years before I got Craven.
Is Richard Dorton on that?
I cannot say.
Okay.
There's excitement in the chat. Cam Egan, Rick Flag, and let's see, your buddy Bob. What? I think that's how he said it, right, Bob? Rockin' News, buddy.
I'll see you out on the archery range.
Yeah, and yeah, Rick Flag is, you know, he's definitely a character that they're, because he's going to be part of Creature Commandos, which is something that we talked to JMD Mateus about. Yeah,
I like this version of Rick Flag.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
The only thing that could have excited Eric more is if you had said that you were playing Ric Flair, the Nature Man.
Woo!
Yeah.
Understand.
There's your audition right there.
There you go.
You know. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, we can figure out a show that, that we can put this on when the Suicide Squad game comes out, to see you as Rick Flag, not Ric Flair. Thank you to everybody in the chat, especially everybody who helped us during our outage, as it were, and as we kind of cobbled together some tech that should work together better than it did, but it was great to have everyone there. Next week, thanks to something that Eric actually just sent me last night, we're going to go through the as best we have the timeline for everything that's coming out this year and into next year, like Agatha, which people are forgetting about, and of course Deadpool 3 is the one that has an actual release date of July 26th. And every time I mention that, I remember the day because that's the day my son turns 9. And I've already told him you're not seeing Deadpool 3, at least not till after
bad
I did. Trying to not be bad dad.
I understand the pull.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that on next week's show. And at some point, I'm going to have to try and find some people that are going to go see Madam Webb's because so far.
I invited you.
That's true. You did invite me, so we'll figure it out. In the meantime, Katie, let everybody know where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on most things at El Sassy Pants, ELSASSYPANTS, sometimes with a Z. I'm on there with this little boy, Oliver, quite a bit.
Oh. So,
find me.
I'm at El Sassy Shorts, actually, a spinoff. Now, Kat Eric Connor and... Happy birthday to my now 13-year-old Judah Connor, who's too cool for video games and he's more into finance, but I think I'll get him to watch this one. And awesome. Spider-Man 2. Oh, thank you. And Spider-Man 2, can you say happy birthday as Craven?
Happy birthday.
You just made his year.
Well, interestingly enough, my birthday's on Thursday, but I'm going to take that happy birthday and just to put it towards myself. In any case, thank you so much. And the chat also wishing a happy birthday to Judah. Are we getting a Craven the Hunter theme bar mitzvah, or is that that's not the way it went?
You remember the last one, my older son, thank you,
My older son was a Marvel Cinematic Universe. His initials are AMC, and it was AMCU, and it was between COVID spikes, so we still kept everything outdoors, but we had wall-to-wall Marvels, but this kid's just in the, like, he got into finance. He's 13.
That's awesome. Would,
thank God. I might be able to retire at the greatest moment I've had as a parent.
Would he appreciate a phone call from Ben Stein? Because I could probably make that happen. We'll talk. In any case, thank you again to Jim and to everybody in the live chat. We will see you next time. And as the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.